和他 caramose, break me, mold me, fill me. I'm just available as a vessel that you can use. I'm just available as a vessel that you can use. I'm just available as a vessel that you can use. Fill me up. I'm just available like a vessel that you can use. I'm just available like a vessel you can use. I'm just available, just a vessel you can use. Fill me up, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Shiri bayaka, I overflow. Shiri bayaka, I overflow. Fill my cup, Lord, till running over. I overflow. I living water. Living water, living water. I need the living water, living water. Fill me up, running over, I overflow. I overflow. Shiri baya karabu kuba shiri diri diri baya karabu kuba shiri diri karabu shiri diri. Receive the highest praise. Shiri diri diri karabu kuba kuba shiri diri 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 karabu tukuba shi. Standing by the window, yeah, looking at the trees, yeah, listening to the breeze. Birds are singing, ta da 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 da. Trees are waving at me. Sweet memories fill my head, memories of the first day that I met you. You love me, I loved you, Lord. We loved each other. Somehow, I don't know how along the way I walked away. Do you still love me, Lord? Yes, I still love you, child. Do you still call me son? Yes, I still call you son. Do you still come up to me? Yes, I still come up to you. After all that I've done, doesn't matter what you've done. Do you still love me, Lord? Shiri baya karabu kubaka shikini karabatara didididibo. Do you still call me, sorry? Baya karabu tukuba shiri karabu turu didibaya. Do you still come up to me? Ribala karabu kuba shiri didididididi. After all that I've done, it doesn't matter what you've done. Chiri ta, da 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 da. Da 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 da. You were my first love. Shiri ba karabu kuba shiri tiri karabu tuku baka shiri tiri tiri karabu tuku baka shi. Da 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 rambu kuba shiri tiri karabu tuku baka shi. Da 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 bo shiri ba da ba da 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 bo da 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 karabu tu shiri tiri ba. Amba da 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 ba shiri tiri karabu tuku baka shiri tiri karabu tuku baka shiri tiri karabu tiri tiri ba karabu tuku ra ba da ba 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 shiri tiri karabu tuku baka shiri tiri tiri. Ara ba ya. Ambar de 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 de
Spirit, they communicate spirit. Oh, breath of God, breath of heaven, breath of God, breath of the Father, breath of me. Breathe on me, 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 breathe on me. Shiri barabu, shiri karabu, ta da 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 ba, shana da 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 karabu tuko, amba da 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 karabu tu, shiri bini bara karabu tuko na ba kasi, araba da 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 karabu tuko ba, shiri da 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 karabu tuko ba, shiri da 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 da, amba da 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 da, I break through the heavenlies, shiri bini bara karabu tuko ba kasi, I'm seated with my Father in heavenly places, I'm seated with my Father. The right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, in the highest places, as I worship to my Father, as I worship to my Lord, as I worship to my King. I just give you glory, 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 give you glory. I just wanna give you glory. I just wanna give you glory. Oh my Lord, you are the spirit of life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit, you make me a life-giving spirit. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to every dead situation. I speak life. I speak life to every dead circumstance. I speak life. I speak life to every dead marriage. I speak life. I speak life. Ooh, I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to your word. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to South Sudan. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to this nation, to Bangladesh. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to Kenya. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to the nations. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to the Israel. I speak life. Shut up. I speak life. Spirit alive. You are spirit alive. Spirit alive. We speak spirit. Tongues are the mouth of a skillful writer. We breathe life. We are the light of the world. He was the light of the world that came to man. He was the life that poured out himself on the cross. He was the life that gave us eternal life, oh God. And he is our Father, our Lord, our King, our Father, our Father. For this morning, I thank you for the grace of life. I thank you for the gift of hope. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. bless your name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you for the gift of worship, O God. That you've called us your own, O God. That you've called us your children. That we can love you, my Father, my God. Not of our own doing, of our own capacity, of our own wisdom, not of our own strength, O God. But Lord, it's by your grace. And I know that you are here this morning to speak to us, and you will speak to us in a special way. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. You are God. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we will continue with the teaching that we've been having, and we've been looking at Romans chapter 8. And by the grace of God, we've been trying to do a study on it and just try to understand the spirit life and the expectation that God has for the believer. And today we'll also continue with that. And today I want us to tackle the spirit of adoption. And I trust that God will give us the utterance that we are able to share and communicate the truth. The spirit of adoption as sons. So ideally, when we read Romans chapter 8, and when we read from verse 14, it says, for all, I'm reading from the Amplified, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, in bracket, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are children, we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, that is, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. Verse 18, for I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly, because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been mourning together as in the pains of childbirth till now. And not only this, but we too who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, even we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption and transformation of our body at the resurrection. For in this we hope, for in this hope we are saved by faith. But hope which is seen is not hope. But for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. So now, this is one of the themes that has been running in the book of Romans chapter 8, and this is the theme of sonship. Now, remember, we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God, and we talked about the two laws, the law of the spirit of sin and death, and the law of the spirit of life. Law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So always key, remember, there is life in Christ.
The law of the Spirit of life applies when we're in Christ, and I dealt that in detail in the last teaching about the plain or the superior law that we are working under as believers. We're not under the law of sin and death, and thus that law, in as much as it exists in the sons of disobedience, in those who are not in the faith of Christ, the faith in Christ, then they are subject to the law of sin and death. And even we ourselves, when we walk out of faith, when we stop believing, when we stop putting our trust in the finished works of Christ, in what Christ has paid, him being our righteousness, him being our justification, him being our glorification, him being the author, the perfecter of our faith, him being the one that sanctifies us, him being the one that makes us holy, when we stop putting our faith in Christ, then the law of sinful nature begins to work in us, because we jump off the plane of faith, and the law of gravity, the law of sin and death, will begin to work in the members of our bodies, and we'll easily find that we are out of his will, out of his purposes, and we find that we're committing things that should not be, because we have moved out of faith, we have moved out of rest, we have moved out of what God has established for us, what God has fought for us, and we decide to fight in our own human effort, and we decide to fight in our own strength. But now you see, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. So now we are being introduced the principle or the reality of being sons of God. Now, God was pleased, and the desire of God is that he established his own sons on the earth. The heart of God in that is revealed in the Bible in from the beginning in Genesis, from 1 verse 26, the Bible says that God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness, that he might have dominion over the earth, over the fish, over the birds of the air, over the land, over the vegetation, over every creeping thing." And God made them man and woman, and he blessed them and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue and dominate the earth." So God made man to be in his image and likeness, to extend his dominion over the physical space. You know, when God had made the heavens, but he created a physical component of his creation. And in this physical component of his creation, he made Adam, who was his son. And the gospel refers to Adam, the son of God. So man, Adam, was made a son of God. And that is a very important foundation that we need to start with, that Adam was made a son of God. He basically, sonship is more of a representation of the authority that God placed on man, on Adam, to rule and dominate over the earth. And when I speak here of man, I'm speaking of both man and woman, because God blessed them, both male and female, and he gave them dominion. So the dominion that we exercise on the earth is not over fellow man. It is a dominion that we exercise over the created things, over the creation. So our role is not to dominate fellow human beings, but to dominate the world. So let us be keen on that, because the worldly system will want you to dominate fellow men. And that is why you have interesting things like the law of power, the 48 laws of power, which try to teach men how to dominate fellow men. And that is not of God. So if you're running your ministry on the 48 laws of power, you're not running it according to the gospel of truth. And that is very sad, because we need to learn and we need to be taught and we need to hear the words and the truth from the Bible and not according to our own human philosophy. We call it vain human philosophy. So what, you know, the concept of being a son of God was a concept that only, I think it is the Greeks that fully understood that. And you see, God is very strategic in even when he chose to bring Jesus Christ on the earth. Why? Because he knew that by the time it was a Roman Empire, the Greeks had already, the Grecian literature and the Greeks had already dominated the earth, the culture, the understanding, the thinking. And for the Greeks, they understood the aspect of the sons of God because they had so many gods in their mythology and they believed that the gods were able to send forth or to come and have their sons in human form. And so when they were spoken to that Jesus was the Son of God, it was something that it was a concept that was easily to be understood, that how God chose to reveal himself to creation by becoming a man. And this is how God, in this time when this understanding was clear, he chose to reveal himself to the world as in the form of flesh. And the Bible says that when Mary asked, "How will this be, since I know no man?" the angel Gabriel told her that the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the child will be found in you. And the baby came into Mary's womb. And this was the Word of God becoming flesh. And Jesus is the Word of God. And he became flesh. And God humbled himself and became man. So we remember we've been speaking about the Trinity and that we have one God. God is God the Father. God is God the Son. God is God the Holy Spirit. And the Son is the Word of God. He was with the Father in the beginning. So God dwells in an approachable light. No eye has seen him. No ear has seen him. But he chose to reveal himself to us so that we can see him through his Son. So his Son, the Word, becoming flesh, is God revealing himself through Jesus. And through Christ. And when he revealed himself through Jesus Christ, then he took on flesh, he humbled himself, and he was seen by angels. That means angels for the first time were able to see God because they saw him in his image. And remember, we've talked about God has revealed himself through the Son. So the Son is Jesus Christ, and the revelation of God is complete. In past time, he spoke through prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, who is the express image of his likeness. So that is Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3. Jesus is the express image of God. So if we want to see God, we see Jesus Christ. We see Christ. If we want to see God, we see Christ. We see Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He became flesh so that we can see God. And he came as the Son of God. And Luke describes him as the Son of Man, but John describes him as the Son of God. Now, there's a reason why both are used. The Son of Man is to identify the humanity with his humanity, because Jesus came, he was fully God and also fully man. And that is it's one of the concepts that people struggle with, and many heresies come out of it. But we must have the full understanding that he was fully human being and he was fully God. In fully human being, he was able to identify with our weaknesses. He's able to sympathize with our weakness, because even him as a man, he was tempted and tested in every way. He came as a child. He had to grow normally. He had to eat food like us. He had to run around like us. And he got hungry. There were times he had emotions where he got angry and kicked out the people who were men exchanging. And we can see that he wept. He had emotions. He cried. And even he struggled with obeying the will of God, because he said, "If there was another way, let this cup be taken away from me." So we see the full humanity of Jesus expressed. And that's why Hebrews says, because we have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, who has gone through the earth, and he has now ascended in the highest place in the heavens, He is able to intercede for us. That means we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has gone through what we are going through and is able to sympathize and to give life to our bodies. That is why he is our high priest. He is our high priest, and we are made after his kind. We are in Christ, and we are made his first fruits. So let me just go back to that concept that I'm saying. He's also fully God, in that you could see that he had all the attributes of God. He was omniscient. He knew everything. He was omnipresent. The difference between when Jesus was on the earth, he was not in many places. So in as much as he had understanding of where he needed to be, but physically he was limited to one location. But you see, when he meets Nathanael, he tells him that, "I saw you when you were at the fig tree." That means he still had the ability to be to be where Nathanael was. And so he knew everything. He had all the ability to be present, but he was limited in that physical space. But you see, now he's not limited because he is the resurrected Lord, and he is everywhere, and he's back to his status. But when he humbled himself, he took on the flesh, and the disciples had to find him in a physical place. But you see, when he needed to, he was able to transform into his supernatural nature. And even this he did before the cross. Remember when he was in Nazareth and they wanted to throw him off the cliff? The Bible says he walked through them. He walked through their minutes and they did not find him because it was not time for them to kill him. Another time when he was with his disciples and he sent them on the ship, on the boat, and as they were far off, he continued praying. And in the night, he walked on water and walked towards them, and they thought it was a ghost. And also another time is also when he was praying in the mountain. As he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and he was transfigured before their very eyes, and Moses and Elijah appeared. So we can see how the component of the attribute of omnipotent, of all-powerful, his all-powerful nature. And he even told the Israelites that before Abraham, I am, I was there. That Abraham rejoiced in seeing my day. Before Abraham, I am. And they asked him, "But how? You're barely 8 years old and you have seen Abraham." And he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And basically, Jesus is God because... And that's why the Israelites picked up the stones and they were ready to stone him, because for anyone to say, "I am," it means I am God. And they knew it, and then said, "Before Abraham, I am." And that is a key word of God. That is a key name of God, that I am who I am. That means I will be what I will be. I can be who I can be to you. I can be your healer. I am your healer. If you need healing, I am your healer. If you need deliverance, I am your deliverer. If you need victory, I am your banner. If you need provision, I am your Jireh, your provider. And all this is accomplished in the cross. So Jesus came as the Son of God. And you see, the first Son of God that God placed on the earth, failed him. And Adam failed him. And you see, because of Adam's failure, he lost his place in the heavens, and he handed over all his authority and all dominion that God gave him, and he handed him to the devil. And that is why Satan has access to heaven, because he comes in the place of man. It was man who was supposed to have free traffic to heaven and have access to the throne room and directly communicate to the Father. And how God will visit Adam and have fellowship with him, that was the place of man. But because sin came into the world and death, he was separated, and an exchange principle happened, and Satan has the right and became the God of this world. And he blinds the believers, he blinds the world, he blinds everyone who's subject to his will, and they are blinded. and they're not aware of their rights and of their truth, that they are sons of God. So, Jesus came as the Son of God, and the Bible in 1 Corinthians describes him as the second Adam and also describes him as the last Adam. So, for God to restore man to the original status that he created him, he had to send forth a perfect sacrifice in place. And that is why Jesus had to fulfill the law of God. He had to fulfill all righteousness. He had to be sinless. He had to come as a man, because if he was not a man, then his sacrifice will be null and void for our sins. Because the wages of sin is death, and God's word is law, and he binds and he bounds himself to his word. Once he has spoken something, his word is law. That's why the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. And every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, James 1:17 to 18, who does not change like shifting shadows. So once God has called you, once God has given you a gift, he does not and he cannot take it away. And his word is his bond. And so the law had been established that the soul that sinneth shall die. And God had told Adam that the day that you shall eat of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And because Adam ate of that fruit, he died. But you see, for God to restore mankind, it is he that sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him, believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, shall also be substituted and receive the life of Jesus Christ. So God pays the price for our salvation by sending his own Son. And that's why in John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God and you are a son of God. Now, what does that mean to be a son of God? It means that God has adopted you as his son. And when you're adopted as a son of God, that means you are loved. You have the Heavenly Father, who is a King of Kings, who is a Lord of Lords, who is a creator of heaven and earth, who is the creator of all things, who rules above the systems of men, above the imperfections of men, who defeats, who at his voice he thunders and the mountains quake and the hills keep like young calves. This Father of ours becomes your Father. And that's why Romans chapter 8 verse 14 that tells us that for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you become a son of God when you accept Jesus Christ and when you continually allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God. This leading by the Spirit of God involves hearing the voice of God, involves obedience to the voice of God, involves being taught by the Holy Spirit, and involves being walked and taught in righteousness, to say no to ungodliness and to live self-control and upright lives in this present age. So as you're continually and habitually led by the Spirit of God, submit yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you are experiencing and you have the witness within you. That's why it says that the Spirit himself testifies with our own spirits that we are sons of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the witness bearer in our spirits that we are sons of God. So anyone who has accepted Jesus must have that assurance within them that there is peace, that God has reconciled man and God. Man back to himself. God in Christ was reconciling man to himself. God in Christ So when we see, when we speak of reconciliation, it tells us that originally, for you to reconcile something, that means that originally you are with God. So we came from the Spirit of God, and our original nature is we are of God. So we were with him. That's why before we told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God knew us. He predestined us to be conformed to the image and likeness of his son. He already called us. He already loved us. We came from him. But because we entered the world, we entered through the sin and we received a sinful nature, God has to reconcile us back to himself. So reconciliation is the act of God reconciling humankind back to the original status. So when we remember who we are, then we are reconciled, just like the prodigal son who knew for asked his father's wealth and went and squandered it. He had to come to himself and remember that all his father's servants, none of them sleeps hungry, none of them eats of pigs. And he came to his senses and he said, I will go back to my father. I will tell him that I have sinned against heaven and you. I am not worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your slaves. So a son is one that has a relationship of a father-to-son relationship. And why? Because, why do we say this? Because through faith, through the word of truth, God has birthed us. He has given us birth through his word. And this you see in James chapter 1 from verse 18 and 19. Through the word of truth, God has birthed us that we might be a kind of first fruits. So, when we are sons of God, we are made after the first fruits, after Christ, after Christ. We are patterned after Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So, when we are in Christ Jesus, when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. Now, Adam was made a living soul, but Christ became a life-giving spirit. So the difference between Adam and the new creation, the believer in Christ, is that we no longer just operate from our souls, which is our rational mind, which is the seat of our will, our intellect, our emotions, but we operate through a higher law, which is the law of spirit of life. We are led by the Spirit of God, and our spirits are regenerated. So the New Testament believer, the believer is a regenerated being. The spirit is is regenerated in that it is made alive. The spirit that was dead, the body that was dead, the mind that was dead, each and every component of us is regenerated in Christ. So we receive the witness that we are sons of God. And when we say, when you cry out, Abba, Father, Abba is such an intimate word for a father. I know many nations have different words for father. Some will call them Papa, some will call them Abba, some will call them Baba. But you see, this word Abba is one of the most intimate expressions of the fatherhood of God. And Abba means source. That means from where we come from where we draw from where we originate from. We originate from God. We come out of God. We are from God. And God is reconciling us back to the original nature, to the original place, to the original state that he made us. Before he formed us, I knew you. So God knew you and he set you apart. He sanctified you and set you apart to be a prophet unto the nations. So you must, for you to find your purpose on the earth, you must go back to your manufacturer. You must go back to the foundations, to the beginning, to the one who made you. So you must ask of God, what did he make you to be? What purpose? Are you fulfilling that purpose? And you must be grateful when you're fulfilling the purpose that God has made you to do. So, the sons of God are those who come from the Father, who God has given birth. Yet to all those who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave them the power, the right to become sons of God. And sons not born, or children not born of a father's decision or of human descent, but children that are born of God. So when you're born again, you're born of God. Your source is God. Your originator is God. Your father is God. And you have an intimate father-son relationship. And you see how did Jesus operate? Jesus will just say, pray to your Father, our Father who art in heaven. And he tells disciples, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to our Father. So God, our Father, became not only the Father of Jesus Christ, but he also became our Father. So we are sons of God after Christ, made after in the pattern, in the likeness of Christ. We are like him, just as he is in this present world, as he is in heaven, so are we in this present world. So we are made in the image and likeness of God. So the original restoration is done. Now, it's not even really after the pattern of Adam, because Adam failed. And Adam was just a living soul. But the real pattern that we are now made after is that we are made after the pattern of Christ. And he not only had his body, his soul, his mind, but he was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, on whom you see the Holy Spirit come and rest upon and stay, that is the one to whom who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So any believer who has accepted Jesus must be aware that the Holy Spirit has come inside them and has regenerated their spirit. And there is an intermingling of the spirit, the human spirit and the spirit of God, making a new creation. And this new creation is able to have the authority of the Son of God. And that is why the Bible says that the creation was made, was subjected to the bondage of corruption. What is the bondage of corruption? The bondage of corruption is seen in the evil on the world. For example, God did not make wild animals. And in the final restoration of things, we find that the child plays with the viper, and the lion and the cow and the goat both eat, and the lamb both eat grass. That means all animals were initially eating of plants, but when man sinned, even creation rebelled against him. But you see, creation is groaning for the manifestation, for the revelation of the sons of God. So when the sons of God are revealed on the earth, when they come back on the earth, when they accept Christ, when you become a son of God, then even creation obeys you. Your world around you obeys you. Your world gets back to order. Things around you begin to work. Then times align in your favor. The seasons align for your favor. The jobs align for your favor. Resources are chased after you. Why? Because you are commanding the authority of the Son of God. You're commanding the authority as the Son of God. The Bible tells us that if we are heirs of God, if you are a son, then you are an heir, because any son has an heir, and an heir is an inheritance, is an heir. Every son is an heir. That means you have an inheritance from God. You have, that's an inheritance. So we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So as Christ is going to inherit the kingdom of God, likewise, we too, we are joint heirs. We shall also inherit the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God shall come and rule over the earth. And it rules over the earth even now, because that kingdom is that small rock that struck the statue at the foot, and it grew and filled the whole earth. So the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Sons of God, you are a son of God. You're loved of God. You have a relationship with your Father. And that means you're not an orphan. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. Anyone who does not know that he has a Father, and when you have a Father, that means you can go to him any day and any time and ask of him. You don't need to go through a priest. You don't need to go through your elder brother to speak to your Father. If you just are confident and are assured of this, that you have a Father who knows your pain, a Father who knows your struggle, a Father who loves you, a Father who provides for you, a Father who cares for you, a Father who gives good gifts, a Father who calls you as his own, then you have the confidence to face the world, to face whatever situation, to face sickness, to face poverty, to face disappointments, because you have a Father, a protector. He is our Father. May you receive the spirit of adoption today as sons. May you have the full understanding and revelation that you are a son of God. This is the greatest revelation that you should ever have, and God loves you. And he is pleased that you rule and dominate the earth in his place and on his behalf, and you establish his kingdom. Wherever you are, in your workplace, in the marketplace, in the business, in your office, you are an establisher of truth of the kingdom of God. This is Spirit and Life. I know I have spoken in many words, and there's more teaching on my Telegram channel, Spirit and Life, Facebook, Spirit and Life, YouTube, Spirit and Life. Please find time to follow me on this, and I believe that God shall bless you. Any questions, put them in the forum, and I, by the grace of God, I'll be able to address them. And I pray that God shall bless you, and even as you continue to receive the life of God, spirit and life, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Until we meet again, as God allows, be blessed. Shalom. Goodbye.